let's continue our conversation here and bring in an expert to talk about the Miami collapse of that building. Let's bring in Anisha Darwaker. Excuse me. She's the assistant professor in the School of Architecture and Design practitioner here in Chicago. Anisha, thanks for hopping on here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I just wanted to ask, first and foremost, just as someone who knows how this stuff works or is at least connected to architecture, of course, like you are, I mean, the rest of our hearts like went into our mouths when we see the video of what happens. What does someone who knows a lot about this stuff, I mean, it just must sicken you to see what happened. I just wanted to know your kind of first initial reactions.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. It really is quite devastating. And from the perspective of somebody who sort of understands how projects like this are put together and sort of the different kinds of people who work on it, it seems to me that, so first of all, I guess I should explain that the building from the images that I've looked at looks like it's sort of a typical concrete, poured concrete building with steel reinforcement. And so that kind of construction is something that would come about from sort of a collaboration between an architect and a structural engineer. With these kinds of projects, typically the architect is the person or the sort of company that oversees the project, and then a structural engineer would be a consultant. And so it appears to me from I've sort of, you know, probably seen a lot of the same media that you and your viewers have seen, that the scope of this kind of problem appears to be something that would happen at the foundation level. Mm-hmm. And so I have, you know, I've seen a couple of news reports about there was a review of the roof and the roof passed an inspection. But it seems to me that that might be sort of less relevant than what's going on at the ground level and underground. So with construction projects like this, I think this building is about 40 years old. What will happen on the site before a building is built is that the soil itself will be tested for bearing capacity. And so what that means is that borings are created, so these sort of vertical cylinders go down into the ground and take out soil samples, and then the soil is tested to find out how much load it can actually carry. And given that this is a coastal site, you know, right on the beach, my guess, my sort of estimation from sort of looking at these images is that the capacity of the soil to hold up a building of this size and of this weight probably changed over time, changed over the last four decades.
That's what I was going to ask, is that, you know, certain soils maybe are just, they withstand things better, obviously, than what is near to the ocean. So then that makes me worried about all the other buildings. Does that make you worried?
Yeah. Yes, it does. And something that has sort of happened over the past decade or so is that Miami-Dade County and Broward County, just to the north, they have been taking this question a lot more seriously. And so they established a Southeast Florida Regional Climate Change Compact in 2010, actually, so just a little over 10 years ago, that looks specifically at this problem, how you can sort of negotiate between the high density of construction in this area and the sort of inevitable changes that are coming along with sea level rise and climate change.
All right, so we look at this building essentially imploding. I don't know if that's the correct word for it, but you know, I wonder, like, is it one thing that goes wrong, or is it like similar to what they say with plane crashes? Not to bring up another horrifying thing, but like a lot of redundancies were lost and the right conditions, and 5, 6, 7 things went wrong in order for something like this to happen.
I think that's a possibility, you know, given that I did read that there were some visual clues in this building, that there was sort of rust that was visible and that kind of thing. But my guess is that this was really an issue of the soil sort of changing its composition, and that it was the foundations themselves that were impacted. Because this level of devastation wouldn't take place if it was just a couple of columns that buckled. up higher in the building. The fact that basically the entire tower came down makes me think that it was a problem at the level of the foundations, and that the soil itself just couldn't hold the building up any longer.
So Miami and the area in Florida, I mean, and areas on the West Coast, like there are, when we learn more about storms, right? Like we make buildings that are stronger to withstand hurricanes. I know after Hurricane Andrew, a lot of buildings and codes went into effect to try and change how buildings were constructed after the fact, or to fix buildings otherwise. Earthquake resistant, that sort of thing, right? Do we have the same focus for climate change and what's happening to soils? Or is that something that everywhere needs to focus on a little bit more?
I do believe so. I believe that it's a question that needs to be addressed at a much bigger scale than it's being addressed right now. There's a couple of examples of work that's being done, basically in the last like 10 years or so. So for instance, I have a colleague who used to teach at MIT, who in 2015 led a design studio looking specifically at how to update codes for the Southeast Florida region. And it's not just building codes. It's sort of thinking about how can we be much more expansive about how we think about codes that address buildings and landscape. And so it's, you know, it's possible that the work that we need to do is not just reinforcing buildings and sort of building in exactly the same locations, but just building stronger buildings. But it's about how can we design better for the much bigger environmental systems that are at play? How can we sort of think about maybe architecture needs to be positioned differently? We need to think about that coastal edge as something that needs to be much more resilient in terms of sort of the ecologies, the way that water sort of operates at these edges. I don't think we can necessarily think about the coast as places for, expensive real estate. And that is sort of, that maybe doesn't need to be the priority anymore. We need to sort of think about these places as part of the built environment for sure, but maybe places where we need to be much more sensitive to the bigger environmental conditions.
We've only got go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, you know, there's a lot of work that's being done. I think that studio at MIT is one that kind of stands out to me. But there is a lot of work being done to sort of think about how coastal areas can move forward.
We got about 30 seconds left. Someone just texted in 773 saying, I thought they go down to bedrock, right? Like it's not just a building into sand, right?
Yes, that's right. But the weight of the soil between bedrock and the ground level has to be taken into account as well. And if the composition of that changes, if the capacity, if the bearing capacity of that soil changes in an unexpected way over time, it can have an impact on the foundations themselves.
Nisha Darwadkar, we appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.